Blog Talk Radio.
You're traveling to another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
It is Thursday night. You're listening to Eat Me. And I note that we live in a universe ruled by numbers. You can't eat just one White Castle slider any more than you can eat just one Jack in the Box taco. You can't go to the Varsity in Atlanta and just buy one of something and feel satisfied. You don't ever get one Whopper or one French fry. In short, singular doesn't work in the world of food. You go to In-N-Out Burger and you see how many patties they can put on two hamburger buns. White Castles have four holes. You buy by the six-pack. Numbers. Here at Eat Me, we have anywhere from 2 to 5 slightly unhinged people talking about food, sports, and life in general. So keep your hands and feet in the car until it stops moving. And remember, may God have mercy on all our souls. It's Eat Me, and I'm John Guy.
And I'm Eli Raselvich.
And I'm Peg Palmer. Is Ray there?
And notice that there is silence after that, because the captain still is late. Where the hell is the captain at? And Billy North?
Now, well, I think the captain's filling bodies with the reanimator fluid.
Oh, God. And Billy, you know, somehow Billy thinks that Bible study and getting closer to God is more important than this podcast, which, you know, baffles me. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that when we all die, and Ray can back me up on this, when we go to heaven and we appear in front of St. Peter, he's going to ask if we, you know, religiously listen to Eat Me. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know.
Yeah. What? Eli, you're going to be proud of me. For supper tonight, we're having West Virginia hot dogs.
Right on, dude.
I went out. I got the chili sauce. I got the coleslaw. We are ready to rock West Virginia hillbilly style tonight after the podcast.
John, I'm glad you mentioned hot dogs. You know, I had that really bad acute pancreatitis attack last week, and I finally got my stomach straightened out today and my intestines. But anyway, I got an inspiration from Stacy. So I didn't eat anything gross all week, but I did get an inspiration from Gracie or Stacy, and I'm going to run this by you. This is what I'm going to eat before next week's show: large baked potato. And I'm going to take a half inch bit on a drill when it's done cooking, and drill a hole in it, and stick a Hebrew National hot dog in it, and smother it in Cheese Whiz.
Oh, my.
Well, there you go. Oh, yeah. Hey, we've actually got a fourth person with us tonight, Todd. Introduce yourself. Tell us all about you.
Oh, good evening. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. I broadcast college basketball, Division II, college football, Division II on ESPN Plus, and some USA Hockey. Also, I've broadcasted high school football and high school basketball, and I appreciate you having me on.
Where are you centered from?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, home of the Varsity. What do you have? What do you have?
Yes, home of the Varsity. That is correct. I don't eat the Varsity, so That's not one of the places I go here. There's a place that I would go to here. It's Stony River. That's really nice. But no, I stay away from any fast food places.
But the Varsity is legendary. You can't go to Atlanta without at least stopping once.
They've got the Coneys in the Detroit area. I'm originally from the area. I've been gone 32 years. They've got Skyline Chili in Cincinnati. And honestly, I'd stay away from all that.
Oh, my God. Eli?
John, I'm busy throwing up in the corner at this moment.
Okay. Thank you so much. Because
you got to be able to stay away from that stuff to be able to be in shape. That's why I stay away from it.
I'm in
good shape for an old man, and I eat the heck out of it.
Skyline Chili, oh, my God. That's what I miss the most, being out here in the desert.
Yeah, you got to have that cinnamon in it.
That's right. You've got to have, I will every once in a while get a can of Skyline Chili out here just to bring back the memories, because that's good stuff. Bad for you, as Ray would tell us all, but it is good stuff.
Well,
we
John,
talk about bad food. If Billy North were with us, instead of, getting closer to God, Billy would tell us what he used to get on $5 meal money per day.
Yeah.
Back in the minors. And Billy's a friend of Lenny Randle, and I'm a friend of Lenny Randle, and Lenny Randle takes food to an extreme also. He was one hell of a ball player. What's your feeling on indoor football? I'm curious.
My feeling is, are you asking me?
Yep.
Well, I was in Detroit broadcasting a USA junior hockey tournament for 4 days. I did 21 games in 4 days. They last all about 2 hours apiece. Eight of them went to a shootout, or eight of them went to overtime, and six of those went to a shootout. So I did see a little bit of football. I happened to catch a game. I can't remember what night. It was on the weekend. XFL? I saw it. The quality of play is, it's a gigantic drop-off from the NFL. You'll get football junkies to watch it. You always get high ratings in the first weekend of the season, and then after that it just continues to drop and snowball, and that'll happen for the USFL. You'll get folks that are curious, then the ratings will drop, and the only way these leagues are going to make it is if they have a financial backing of the National Football League, or they're just going to fail because there's just not enough money in these leagues to tote the water. There's not enough interest. And, the other sports that come along, like Major League Baseball and the NHL and basketball and college, pro basketball and college basketball, they all take this over this time of the year. Football has ran its course after the Super Bowl.
Now, you do Division II football, correct?
Correct.
If it weren't for these off-brand football leagues, indoor or outdoor, where would those guys go to keep playing football?
Well, I mean, it's an opportunity for these guys, after they played in college, to potentially catch on somewhere, either in the Canadian Football League or the NFL. So it is an opportunity for them as individuals to try to catch on another league, and that's probably the best thing about it, to be honest with you. And also some coaches, if they do well, take their time coaching these other leagues, a position may open to them. So it is opportunity. There's no question about it. But if you're asking in terms of quality of football, it's really not there, to be honest with you. But it is opportunity. If I was ever offered to broadcast it, I surely would jump on it myself for opportunity. But in terms of quality of play, it's not college football in the fall, and obviously it's not the NFL. There are some talented players, but as a whole, the teams are not very good. I mean, if you want to watch good football in the summer and before the NFL, the CFL is a pretty darn good league. And it's way better than these two spring leagues. The CFL is a pretty good league.
Okay. The reason I asked is I received a phone call last week from an ownership group that was looking to put an indoor football team in Indianapolis, an IFL team. And they've been without indoor football since the Indy Firebirds left town. And, and I told them flat out, I said, okay, any kind of minor league sport, if you're going to be successful, you have to think outside of the box at all times, because it's just not going to capture the imagination long term on its own merits.
Well, it's true. I mean, I can't argue with that. You've got to be able to put fannies in the seats, and you've got to be able to get folks to click on and watch. You mentioned Indianapolis. That's interesting town. Of course, you've got professional football there with the Colts. I believe you have minor league baseball. I think, what are they, the AAA affiliate of the Reds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, of course, college basketball is huge in the Indianapolis area with Butler and et cetera. I'm sure that I believe Indianapolis has minor league hockey, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not sure if they have minor league soccer. So, minor league sports would be important to a city like Indianapolis, which is, which has grown tremendously over the years. So you're competing for the sports dollar in that area. I don't know what minor league baseball draws there, but I would assume it would be pretty good because, the NFL season is not there. It would probably be good for minor league hockey, too. So you're competing for someone's dollar. You better have some entertainment with it. I know an organization here in the state of Georgia called the Savannah Bananas. You should look that up. That's tremendous. What they do in terms of advertisement and getting fans in the seats. And, it's a wooden bat baseball league, and they have all kinds of things to get folks in the seats, and they've done a tremendous job. They sell out a ton. If you Google it up and see it, it's quite a they draw very well. Now, I'm trying to recall they've had a former Major League Baseball player on the team. It's killing me who it is right now. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But those, let me see. I was pulling it up here. Let's see. They've got some quite a big names from professional ball that have played there. That are done after their professional career and they go play there. So anything to attract fans in the seats. I do agree with you. You do have to think outside the box. Long answer there.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Now, go ahead, Eli.
Hey, John. I hate to interrupt you, but the reanimator, Ray, is here.
No way.
We're up to 245.
Yeah. And best of all, my favorite message so far is our girl Claire from Beaumont, Texas. She says, it sounds like we're going to need a doctor this week after talking about the crap that we eat. And she says the guy from Atlanta sounds hot. She wants to know if he's single.
She said, what? Say that again?
she thinks the guy from Atlanta is hot and she wants to know if he's single.
Oh, no, I've been married, let's see, it'll be coming on 32 years this summer. I'm taken. But I appreciate the compliment, you can tell her that.
Yeah, Claire's one of our longtime listeners, bless her heart.
All right, that's good.
You need to tell Todd about our guy in the Pennsylvania bathroom.
We have a guy from Zach from Independence, Missouri, who says, hey, friends, have a few beers and ate a couple chili burgers listening to you on the toilet. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang out.
Yeah.
See,
and Big Bert from Danville, California says, who's the new guy, Todd? And Atlanta sucks all the way around. Acknowledge San Francisco. So that's our call-in.
Todd, many of our listeners listen to us from their bathrooms. I don't know the meaning of that, but our all-time favorite was a guy that hides in his bathroom to listen to our podcast, and his wife thinks he's in there masturbating instead, and he won't tell her that he's not, that he's listening to Eat Me instead. So she's under the assumption he's just in there, you know, jacking off. It's a weird, weird audience that we have, Todd.
I definitely say so. I understand one of your hosts there, Ray, are you a season ticket holder for the Jets?
Yep, I am.
Wow, that's a, if I may switch. That's a team that if they can find themselves a quarterback this year defensively, they're definitely good enough to more than compete in the NFL. This is a team that if they can get themselves a quarterback, a guy that doesn't turn the ball over and can move the chains, you know, this is a team that makes some hay next year in the AFC. It's kind of the opposite. I'm a Lions guy. I had season tickets back in the day when in the Silverdome, and I had finally given up when I moved down here. That was the year that the Lions actually won a playoff game, and they went to the NFC Championship game with Barry Sanders. My timing is awful. So my Lions need the opposite of your Jets. They have the quarterback. They certainly have the offense. But defensively, they need to improve in the draft. And if they do, winning 8 of their last 10, they can be good. I actually have a podcast. It's called ATL Prime Sports. And I had a young lady on as a guest called Connie Carberg. You're going to like this. She is was the first woman scout in the National Football League. She's the one that was responsible for the New York Jets drafting Mark Gastineau. So I don't know how far you go back in Jets history, but Mark Gastineau was one great football player on the defensive line, and he was very valuable back in the day getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, I was out with Mark. I was out with Mark and Mike McTagnan about 7 months ago. Mike McTagnan came up from Texas, and we went out to a restaurant, and lo and behold, there was Mark Gastineau and his wife, and we all had dinner together. It was really a really good time.
Oh, that would be. That would be. You know, the Jets, it's kind of like Detroit. if each of these franchises ever went to the Super Bowl again, they'd turn the cities upside down in the state because they're the two franchises that have suffered, probably Detroit more than the Jets. The Jets have had some years where they've been really competitive, especially when Bill Parcells was coaching, and et cetera. But, you know, these are two franchises. If they ever met up in the Super Bowl, it would be quite – I think it would be quite a ratings bonanza.
Yeah. Well, I hope every year – I've been a fan since they were the Titans. I go back to the 50s.
Oh, my gosh. So obviously, you know the Joe Namath era very well.
Oh, sure. Sure. I've been
Richard
all
Todd
of
and Richard Todd, heck of a the Jets have really had some really good players. Hugh Douglas used to work for the Jets. He was here in Atlanta Radio.
Hugh is a great guy. I know Hugh. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's over in Philadelphia Radio right now. So
yeah.
He used to play, matter of fact, he used to play college football at Central State there in Ohio. That was an HBCU school. That's part of the SIAC Conference Division II. I did a couple of their games this year, and I've talked to Hugh about Central State and what those, you know, what that means to him and his collegiate experience, and obviously playing for the Jets and the Eagles. And yeah, Hugh Douglas was a really good player. He's in Philadelphia right today.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Yes, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yeah, I would love to see a team like the Jets come back in contention. Of course, the Giants, you know, they've had the better of it between the two and New York. But to me, the Jets are not that far away from getting the playoffs. And if they ever got a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo or even Aaron Rodgers, you're talking a totally different season next year.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the preparation of the team that's the problem. They're not prepping their quarterbacks. They get a prospect, and it just fizzles out because they're not prepared properly. And this constant turnover of staff. And they got rid of a trainer that the Jets had, and once they got rid of him, all of a sudden the injuries tripled. It was really bad. So well, there's a lot of internal problems with the Jets.
Well, I tell you what, Robert Saleh's really turned it around. He's from the Detroit area, and
Robert's a great coach. He's without a doubt.
I mean, what the Jets need is, you know, they need a little help along the offensive line. You know, their cap space is about 18th in the league. They're, you know, obviously need a quarterback. They get that. They can turn it around. They could use a safety. They can use probably a linebacker and one defensive tackle. But, I mean, defensively, I think they're there. They could definitely improve. To me, the biggest needs are at quarterback and on the offensive line. You can improve that, and in the NFL, you can combat, you can contend pretty quickly. It'll be interesting to see what they do at quarterback. I'm intrigued by their future.
Yeah, it's all a matter of the right combinations, and you know, Mike Maccagnan got a bad rap in New York. Mike is a great guy, great football guy, good businessman, and he got a bad rap in New York. And Joe Douglas now is having the same problems that Mike had. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that is beyond the GM's control. And he's starting to find out now. Joe is starting to find out now that this isn't going to be as easy as they thought. You know, and they had a damn good quarterback. That kid could throw the ball. It's just that he was thrown into the wolves, and they just ate him up.
I think Derek Carr would be another great addition for the Jets. Have you ever had the chance to meet their famous fan, Fireman Ed, by chance?
Oh, Eddie, I was out with Eddie about a month ago out to dinner. He lives down by me, and Eddie's a great guy. You know, he's another guy that got a bad rap. You know, he got a bad rap. He's been loyal to the team. He's been leading the cheer for so many years, and I don't know, for some reason that, you know, fame and popularity is a downfall for people. I know how, you see, I do my thing, but I know how to stay out of the battlefield. And I like my position to where I am, you know, where I do the Captain Jet thing, and I support a lot of the kids. Kids have a good time at the stadium, and I try to give them a lot of fun at the stadium, which I do. But I stay out of the limelight, and those guys take some beating. Eddie is a great guy, and he was unfairly pushed around there towards the end, so he backed off a lot.
You know, Detroit's got a famous fan, too. He's a Hall of Fame fan named Ron Kreckman. I went to the Lions game at Charlotte this year. That just happened to be one of the games they lost in the last 10. I mentioned they went 8-2. I got to meet Ron at the game in Charlotte, and that was quite a thrill to meet him. Like I said, I had season tickets back in the day when the Silverdome, my father and I, and then when I moved to Atlanta, he had moved before me, you know, to the South. You know, we gave him up. But, you know, those are good folks, and they go everywhere with the team, home and road, and they're true fans no matter what the how the team is doing. And you know, the NFL has such a great following compared to the other sports. They're the only sport that their ratings are up. The NHL is down 22%. Professional basketball only drew 4 million for their All-Star game. That is atrocious. And, of course, Major League Baseball, with all its new rules coming, I see you probably don't have a lot of time to discuss that. Their ratings are falling, too. And, you know, I'll leave you with this. They're not doing it to try and shorten the game, these rules in Major League Baseball. They're doing it because they need interest. The game has gotten too slow, and they're trying to speed up the game in terms of getting more action. There's a lot of home runs, and there's a lot of strikeouts, and there's not a lot in between. They're trying to increase the stolen bases by having the pitcher only being over there throw two times, and then the third time they throw, if you don't get them out, it's just, to me, it's insane. You know, you want to increase this stuff, make the ballparks bigger, make the outfielders bigger, the outfield bigger like it was back in the day, try to raise the mound and get these players to learn to hit the ball the other way and shorten up. You know, the launch angle is so big in baseball. But they're trying things. They're getting rid of the shifts so the players can try to hit it the other way and increase batting averages. The games aren't going to shorten in time. There's just too many pitching changes. The starting pitchers don't go like the relievers used to back in the day. And, you know, they're not going to shorten time. They're just trying to put more action in the game because, you know, I mean, look, attendance is down 7% in Major League Baseball from a year ago. That's a tremendous amount.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, the problem in Major League Baseball is they lost the fans because they lost their personality. People, the players don't have any personality with the fans anymore. And that's
you know
a big problem.
Ma'am, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Matt?
What you got, Peggy?
We have 1 minute to go and 301 listeners. And Eric from Prescott, Arizona says, sounds like football talk. Anybody going to the nudist beach this weekend? It's going to be cold. Might bring a blanket. So that's something completely different. But we have 1 minute to go.
1 minute. Well, I suppose we should thank people because that minute goes damn fast. Todd Corder, thank you for being on tonight. And stop by the Varsity just for me, if nothing else.
I'll stop by, but I won't eat.
Okay. All righty. Todd Corder, the broadcaster from the NFHS Network, joined us this evening. And Eli, I'm glad your digestive system has recovered.
Yes.
And it's good to hear your voice, Ray. We missed you, buddy. And other than that, that's about it. Eat lousy this coming week.
Bet.
We'll see you next Thursday.
Okay.
Later,
all
guys.
Alrighty. Until next Thursday, I'm John Guy. Keep the peace, folks.
See you guys.
All right. Good night.